across the country. It's baseball season, but particularly in Chicago this week, we have our teams visiting each other in a friendly crosstown, if you will, rivalry and just a general good time for everybody. And one of those teams is going to win a game or two, maybe, or one. Who can tell? It's the Cubs and Sox, of course, what I'm talking about. But the Block Club, and in specifically Lindsey Rice, who's a contributing reporter, is with us. And this is a great title and a great article, Lindsey. The Chicago Cubs-White Sox rivalry goes back to a baseball war in 1900. And here's why it still rages on. Great article. Got a lot out of that. So why don't you tell everybody about this 1900 war?
Well, thank you. And I love that intro, by the way. The A League of Their Own is my favorite movie. And I have a Rock Versus tattoo. So love that.
No kidding. Fantastic.
Yeah. I played softball growing up in DeKalb County, so right outside Rockford. So always on my radar. But this was such an interesting story to look into.
It was.
I honestly learned a lot myself.
Right. It initially revolves around the fact, if I read this correctly, and I correct me if I'm wrong, to have two teams in a city, this is going to sound so simplistic. First of all, you have to have two teams.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't. And that's Comiskey and a bunch of other people worked their way into putting the White Stockings, I think that was their initial name,
mm-hmm.
I got that from your article, into the city and into Major League Baseball. But it wasn't an easy go at first, was it not?
No, that's exactly right. It all kind of started with this secret meeting that took place in the bar of a hotel in Chicago, between, of course, as any interesting thing will happen there. Comiskey,
exactly.
And a couple people from the Western League, which had teams in different states and different territories, they all got together there. They had this secret meeting, and they pretty much plotted to rebrand the Western team league as a different league, which we know now as the American League. And in doing so, he would bring his St. Paul Saints from Minnesota to Chicago and put them on the South Side, which is where Comiskey was from. And that's kind of how it all started. And that was reported on in the newspaper, to which the next day, you know, Comiskey and others were like, no, we didn't. We never said that. We wouldn't do that. And once the Cubs organization got wind of it, they were like, oh, no, go ahead. You know, we're not scared. But then when they were like, no, okay, we will, then kind of this rivalry really started before the Sox were even playing in Chicago.
Yeah. Before there was ever a game played,
mm-hmm.
there was this maybe starting in that bar and then expanding outward with individuals and executives who were involved in this decision. There was this, maybe not a rivalry, but certainly some sort of I'm for me and you're for you. And we have a conflict here to a certain degree. And I wonder if they ever imagined back then if it would get to the point that it is now, because it's really expanded into different decades and different types of competition. Sometimes at first a charity, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the games didn't count, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
It was just something to play for the Chicago baseball fans. In fact, you mentioned the game that Michael Jordan played in for, I believe, for the White Sox. Yeah, at Wrigley Field.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what, that kind of thing could happen. So it took a lot of different turns along the way, and we're going to do some more. 20 minutes after 7 o'clock with John Landecker at 720 WGN in baseball. White Sox Cubs tomorrow at Wrigley, then at Guaranteed Rate Field the day after. And this competition and series dates back to 1900. And a great article in the Block Club by Lindsey Rice, who's with us on the phone right now, about how this all started in 1900 and why it still rages on. Lindsay, we were talking about Comiskey trying to get a ball club into Chicago on the south side. And someone said, and maybe this was executive for the Chicago Cubs, that Charles Comiskey could place a team in Chicago at his own peril, which I thought was... who said that? I thought that was quite a blunt statement, at his own peril.
I think that was Jim Hart. He was the president of the Cubs at the time. And it was just, they had so many of these really bold, acrimonious statements being said to each other through the newspapers. And it was really kind of this drama that was going on. I feel like they should make a new like TV series about just this part of the history alone.
I think that's an excellent idea because, you know, I'm thinking as you were speaking, that you said that they did it through the newspapers. And we're talking about a time prior to radio even. So that was where all of this, the only way they could get at each other was through the newspapers and trying to manipulate and massage the stories. And what a huge deal it must have been at that time. I mean, I can't even imagine living here and hearing, reading about, every day I'd want to go get the newspaper and find out who said the latest thing about whom and whether or not a team was actually going to come in. I mean,
interesting. To go back and look at the newspapers too and see, it really was like every day kind of a new little development or a new little dig at each other. So I think people were the public was definitely watching that way and kind of trying to decide, am I going to stay loyal to the Cubs? Am I intrigued by this new idea? You know, and kind of start to split some of those lines there.
Well, they didn't start playing when I say for real, I mean that it actually counted in their one loss column for the season, I think until it started that in 1997 when they went into interleague play.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been around here for a long time. I remember, you know, people would look forward to this crosstown classic, even if it was just an exhibition or for a charity. Although after a while, I think I remember a time where some of the players balked, if that's the right term.
Mm-hmm.
Anything particularly to them, and they could have had they could be off doing something else at that time. I just remember that being a wrinkle that I heard about quite a while ago, certainly well before the 1997 decision to go to interleague play. But where else, I mean, as an exhibition, could you get somebody like Michael Jordan to come out on the field and play baseball? I mean, that is in itself a huge deal.
Absolutely. And I think it mentions in this story, you know, that was one thing that kind of united the crowd was this major respect. You know, Jordan coming out on the field, everybody clapping for him. But then I found it funny that as soon as he made his first error, now Michael Jordan's getting booed by the other team because, you know, now this isn't basketball anymore. This was a totally different thing.
Yeah, right.
So it was how quickly they turned, yet such an amazing thing that was still happening.
There was that incident in 1919 where the White Sox, it was revealed that the White Sox fixed that World Series that...
Mm-hmm.
What impact did that have on this rivalry, do you think?
I spoke to a sports historian that specializes in Chicago sports, and he described that incident as kind of a turning point for a lot of Sox fans. He said that it scarred a whole generation of Sox fans who kind of wore that shame. And whether they remained the same, you know, that the fandom kind of quieted down after that or people wanted to distance themselves. Of course, at a time, the Cubs also had their own fixing scandal. So I guess they're even. But that was a big thing at that time where people were wanting to associate less with the Sox.
Yeah, somehow my reflection, my memory about a Cubs scandal is totally overshadowed by the White Sox 1919 scandal, maybe because there was a Hollywood movie made about it that was successful, but
right.
I don't recall the Cubs having that kind of incident with the club over the years. What was that? I mean, I'm hearing about this, I hate to say this, for the first time from you, but what was it that the Cubs suffered
there
from?
There was at another time, I don't even remember the specific details of it, because, and I think that that also speaks to the perception of the Cubs versus the Sox, you know, sort of that lovable losers, they're allowed to make a mistake, and it's like, oh, you know, gosh darn it type of thing, where... If the Sox make a mistake, then it's like, oh, you know, maybe it's like a more harsh reaction.
Right.
So I think the fact that, you know, some of those Cubs scandals that have been lost to history, like, that makes sense to me.
I guess so. Yeah. Well, and you have, apart from actual things happening, you have this building up over time, this whole North Side, South Side rivalry, and stereotypes that go along with it. And I think we all know what they are. I don't need to get into them now because everybody's quite aware of what the North Side thinks of themselves and what the South Side thinks of themselves and vice versa.
Right.
It's a completely different vibe, to say the least. I don't know. This year, the White Sox are so bad. Not to say that the Cubs are doing much better. I still think there's going to be huge interest in this because it's just, you know, sort of woven into the fabric of Chicago baseball that the Cubs and Sox would play each other. And it would be horrible if they didn't. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, we're so used to it now. And I feel like it's always going to be a big deal, you know, because even though they have the Crosstown Trophy now, which they can trade back and forth. It's really about the bragging rights, you know? So it's what's at stake is just who do we feel is better? Who has the fans in their corner and stuff like that. So I feel like it's always such an exhilarating thing when it comes around.
Well, it's about ready to come around, and I'm sure all eyes will be on it as they are every year. And Lindsay Rice from the Block Club, thanks for the great article. If people haven't checked it out, you really should. It's very informative. I learned a lot from it. It's been great talking to you. Thanks a lot for being on tonight.
Yeah, thank you so much, John.
You betcha. Lindsay Rice from the Block Club. I love that Block Club.